Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth from the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports in Depth of the show. It is a Sunday, and that means it's time for John Coltrane. Dear Lord, a prayer with the opening theme from the song. That's, well, you know it. It's John Coltrane's Dear Lord, and we open every Sports in Depth show with Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Have your will, have your way. More importantly, Lord, give us so much, not what we want, but what we need, and we need thee every hour. Thank you for blessings forthcoming, unseen, unacknowledged, all unmerited. Bless our families, bless our friends. Happy birthday to Don King as he hits his 81st. If you remember last year this time, we were saluting him happy birthday in Brazil. Bless our president, bless our families. But more importantly, Lord, thank you for being our God, for your God all by yourself. And although you're not everybody's God, you are the one and only true God. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Deficit. This show live from New York City. Yesterday, we're in New Jersey, MetLife Stadium at the Metro Bowl, 26-3. Jets, Jets lost again. They're 0-2. Giants, even their preseason record at 1-1. Had a lot of notes, too. Try to grab them through the course of the show. Talk about some things that happened there. Jets, Jets. Same thing was
don't
happening.
Don't read it off, Doc. You hurt his feelings.
That, well, it's hey, listen. No, it's not for her. It's really, you know, he's got to endure the pain, Hoopster. He's got to endure the pain. No pain, no gain. And right now, it's all pain. But before we get started, let's the man. The Mel Cosell. Open up and welcome to Sports in Depth Nation. One more time to Sports in Depth on the Blake. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I bring you tell it that like it is. Mel Cosell Smith Jr.
Thank you, Doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And I really have something to say.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
At the big... What's that now? How does that other Russ say that? At the big ballpark in the South? How does Russ say that there, Rooney?
One of our favorites, Doc, one of the greats, Arthur George. The big ball yard in the South Bronx.
Mm-hmm. Arthur George, my goodness. I'll never forget the Dwight Gooden no-hitter. I was at the game when Jim Bunning threw his no-hitter. I was at the game, too, when Wells started his no-hitter. I loved that game. And Gooden, three, four innings, Gooden at two, three innings. And Art's there. Everybody's talking to him. They've got a million stories to tell him. They want to talk to him. They're glad to see him. He brings back memories of great times, and he's talking. He turns to me in the verse and says, okay, baby, let's go, Big Daddy. So I said, well, Dad, you know, he hasn't got a hit yet. Let's wait till he gets a hit. He said, okay, no problem. And he digests his back. And you would think, now here he is, into heavy conversation, and everybody's pulling, everybody's talking to him. And so about a couple of days later, I said, okay, you ready, Big Daddy? And he turns to me, like, he still ain't getting no hits. You know, like, I mean, come on, you know. So I got eyes in the back of my head. You know what I mean? I've got easy. And that's how I stayed and we stayed to see Gooden throw the no-hitter against the Seattle Mariners. Ken Griffey Jr. was on that team. Everybody was on that team. And let me see. The first baseman that came here, Tino Martinez, was on that time. If I'm correct, I think it was Tito or Griffey who made the last out. High flop. High pop fly ball to Derek Sanderson, Jeter, and Doc Gooden. Yeah, the first no-hitter of his career was robbed of one as a Met by Dick Young, who, as time goes on, we can see Dick had a lot more clan in him than we possibly thought.
Let me ask you something, Doc. I hate to interrupt, but before you do the ID, you know, you've seen the greats, the Gibsons and what have you as rookies. Has there ever been a rookie pitcher, Doc, that was better than Gooden as a rookie?
N-E-V-R. 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 This is what Ralph Kiner told me. Doc Gooden was the best young pitcher I ever saw. Maybe Herb Score was on the same level. Ralph Kiner, the only man to lead the league in home runs 7 straight years, the first regular player to get in the Hall of Fame on his last year of eligibility. Sure miss seeing Mr. Kiner and talk to him. Doc Gooden, I remember we were sitting there talking. We were talking about the Blue Laws. He said those Blue Laws used to drive him crazy. I mean, the Blue Laws were so crazy that you're sitting on one end of the bar and, hey, Rooney, hey, Doc, come on over a minute. You could not take your glass and bring it over to sit next to me. The bartender had to take your glass and put it on the other side of the bar. I mean, he said those Blue Laws drove me crazy. You couldn't drink till a certain time of the day. You couldn't drink but a certain amount. It was just crazy, crazy. And tell me, one of the things was, you know, you could not move your glass. You know, hey, Dusty, how you doing? Dusty, hey, Doc, don't touch your glass. The bartender had to move your glass. You know, I remember he told me, I'm sitting there, I remember, this got to be 10 years ago now, my goodness. And he said, you know, those Blue Laws drove me crazy. But he told me Doc Gooden was the best young pitcher ever. So I remember late, Greg Carlton Nissel talked about how David Johnson, they didn't know if they were going to take him to camp. You know, that's the amazing thing about Gooden. Gooden led the league in strikeout as a rookie, and he struck out more men in less innings his first year than he did the next year. He struck out more men at a higher rate. I was looking at a stat, too, that was like mind-boggling. I was talking to Josh Hamilton the other day. Out of the stadium, we were talking about that 5-year span that Koufax had, 25 wins, 1.86 ERA, 307 strikeouts, and 297 innings pitched. This is a 5-year span. Okay, 300 strikeouts a year, a 1.86 ERA, 25 games won. And Josh said, wow, you know, and I talked about Super Bowl. But there's nobody great in church, but I looked at a stat. Do you know that Christy Mathewson had 3 straight 30-win seasons?
Wow, that'll never be duplicated.
Christy Mathewson had 3 straight 30, and had 5 altogether. And after that, those were his best. He had a 37-win season and had like a 1.86 ERA. A 37-win season. Christy Mathewson averaged, 20 wins a year his career. 17 years.
That's when they got away from this stupid nonsense of pitch count. Ridiculous.
20 wins a year. Almost won 200 more games than he lost. Had 5 30-win seasons and 3 years in a row of 30 wins. I think he was like 1-4 his first year, but I mean, he got on track. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake, the Network Rainbow, so the Channel Sports Network, the show. They're here. Mel Costell Smith, Little Coco, by another name, Justinio Baby Lewis, Dear Zusty, as Murder K would say. And we've got a good hour here. I'm looking for some calls to come in. See me last night at the Metro Bowl. Once again, the Jets were bowled over. They're 0-2 now. But the big questions that come up so redundantly here, Rooney, is and me and Cincinnati C. We said when we saw, you know, the man Pierre Paul, I said we know Rooney is up in his seat at the house jumping
around.
And
I thought you could say that, Doc, because just as he made that play, I actually did have the biggest grin on my face. You know, I have to tell you, Doc, that, you know, I am so proud of him, not only because of Reagan. You know, he didn't even like football, Doc, in the beginning. He really didn't.
Let's not get started on that. I mean, Curtis Martin goes to the Hall of Fame, and he never liked football.
He didn't like football.
He never liked football
either,
yeah.
Yeah.
He just fell into it by coercion.
No, it, like Dusty. Yes, Dusty so. Didn't like boxing, but they say it's 15 to 20 or you got to get in the ring. You know, that's all I'll do.
That's right. 15 to 20 without parole. Somebody get in that ring.
You guys are crazy, man. You guys are crazy.
Well, you know, Doc, boxing and football are a lot alike in the fact that you got to have a lot of heart to play it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is, like it or not, there cannot be any Kool-Aid running through your veins, man, to be in that.
Not for
right.
the weak
you know?
Heart at all, Doc. When,
yeah,
you know, walking down that aisle and up those steps takes a lot of heart.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that was happening at the stadium, Dusty. We had a good little go roll there going on. The young man was pitching pretty nicely. He had the Red Sox no hit for a while. What's happening now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 4-0 Yankees. Ichiro hit 2 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh and Indianapolis, they're tied 17-17. So that's the Sunday night football spring game. And this guy Andrew Luck looks pretty good. He's pretty good
mm-hmm.
arm, you know. Yeah. So, but he did the first half, but the Pittsburgh. They're tied up. It's a real tight game. The Colts are on the run right now, and they got a substitute quarterback. Okay. Let me see. Yep, he caught the ball. Another touchdown by the Colts. That's it. So now
mm-hmm.
it's was it 24-17 Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And Ichiro just, like I said, Ichiro hit it home. This guy Corolla's pitching a hell of a game, man.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese guy for the Yankees, man. He's
mm-hmm.
He pitched a 2-hit shutout last time, and oops, he gave up a home run. this animal, Gonzalez, the first baseman. That guy's an animal. So he gave
mm-hmm.
up a home run now in the seventh inning. So it's 4-1 Yankees.
4-1
Yankees. But what I don't understand, you're 4-1 Yankees. So I don't understand what's wrong with those two animals that the Boston has, Beckett and the other guy. I forgot the other pitcher's name. They just don't seem to have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot
Who's
of the
that?
Guys are on the disabled list. Josh
yeah.
Beckett and
Big Cat, Big Cat is a Big Cat. Big Poppy is injured, so
he's on the disabled list. Two or three other guys on the disabled list, but the Yankees got replacement for their disabled list, and they're pretty good. They're doing pretty well. Chavez and who took over for A-Rod and Gita just got his. Another double, so he matched. I forgot who it was that he matched, but he's doing pretty good, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, talking, Dusty. You know, Boston's been underperforming for a few years now, and since Valentine's been down there, I haven't seen such an overthrow since Mutiny on the Bounty. I mean,
mm-hmm. they're knocking Valentine for the club being in disarray, but you don't have the monsters anymore. You know, one of the best players that he had, he practically ran him out of the club. Was Kevin Euclid. That's one of my favorite ball players in Boston, and he got rid of Euclid, man. And a lot of guys were upset that he traded Euclid. I forgot where the heck Euclid is now, but that was one of the monsters of Boston. You know. So,
well, you know,
Dusty,
they haven't pitched like they should. They haven't pitched like they've been expected to, and they certainly haven't been the lumber company that they've been in years past.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's what I was saying. These two killer pitchers, one is Beckett, who's pitching today, getting slapped around. I forgot the other guy who played yesterday. I wish I could remember his name. They're not as formidable as they were before. And then they lost their
And that's
Evo
amazing, you know, in this era of pitch count and every fifth day, you would think guys would have some more longevity. And yet, I think a lot of it has to be psychological, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just crazy.
Beckett really. Right now is 5-10 for the season, I can't believe that. By this time, the man would have been 16-17-2 or 17-1, and he's 5-10 for the season. And he's one of the flamethrowers of, you know, Boston.
At one time he was one of the flamethrowers, yeah.
Yeah, and when a Rod Carew like Ichiro hits two home runs off him, I mean, something's wrong, man. Oh, God. Because Ichiro, Robinson Cano, who's another guy? I can't think of him right now. Like Rod Carew. They just slapped the ball all over the place. In fact, Ichiro, coming to the Yankees, he had only 99 home runs, so now he's broken the record. He's got 101. In his entire career.
He ain't got 99 no more.
That's right.
That was gone.
Ain't 99 no more.
So,
did the Hoopsa come back with us? The C Wings here?
Yeah.
Hoopsa?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, what's the latest in the world of round ball? Hey, gang, before we get started, everybody win together. Once again, last year's time to show us in Brazil. Let's everybody say happy birthday to Don King. Happy birthday, DK.
Happy birthday,
DK,
to
Don
King.
Don King, 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 Don Yeah, well, only in America. He's only in America could he exist.
Yeah, like
so
he was
that's the story.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say about what's happening in the NBA?
Yeah, what's the latest, baby? Give us a 411.
My spider now is not working out with Akeem Olajuwon, working on his post-up game.
Mm-hmm. That's good. But Stoudemire, to me, he was the best free agent, but he's not an elite player. He's not a franchise changer. He's not the offensive player that Carmelo Anthony is. He is a good part to a good team, but he's not going to. He's outstanding, but he's not going to turn a team. Everybody say hello to Rosie. To Rosie from Brazil. Everybody, hi Rosie. Come on, everybody say hi.
Hi, Miss
Rosie.
Rosie.
Rosie, she's from she's up listening to this show. Hedonia Volta, am I saying that right, Rosie? Volta Hedonia, right outside of Rio de Janeiro. Americans say Rio, but Rio. It's the H sound in Olá Bela. It's the H sound here with the R, so it's Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah,
it's Rio. The D-E is like with a G sound, so Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro, which was Volta Redonda. Volta, that's like return. That's the word. Volta is like return, Volta is São Paulo. Volta is Brazil. Volta Redonda. Rio was the second capital of Brazil. Bahia was the first capital ever. And now the third capital is Brasilia, which is the third capital in the history of the great country of Brazil. And we're saying hi to Rosie. We're upset that Brazil didn't bring the gold. Neymar and Oscar and those guys, and they didn't do it. They lost to Mexico 2-1. Mexico had beat them earlier this year in June. Then they turned around and also, I didn't see the game, but there was a point where Neymar, according to one photo, had a shot at goal. Missed it. Maybe we could have had a 2-2 game. Could have had a penalty shot. Maybe it would have happened. But Brazil has never won a gold medal in the Olympics. Not that it's, that's fine. I mean, Brazil didn't first get into the Olympics in 1920. They gentlemen won a gold medal there in a firing contest, rapid fire contest. But the first person ever to win an individual gold medal in the history of Brazilian Olympics was the girl from PI. I may be spelling that wrong. Northeast of Brazil, which is up in the area where. But the laser Sara Menines, who was in the Olympics 2008. She was voted the best Olympian out of all due to a vote. The Brazilians really rallied behind her. She met the former president, and now she's going to meet Dilma Rousseff. But she's the first Brazilian ever to win an individual gold medal in Brazilian history. And wow. My buddy, I have to catch up with him. He won first time ever. He was the second Brazilian. That happened to be the 99th Olympic medal won by a Brazilian. I've got so much work to do in his apartment. It's got to be Sunday to come. But he was the Arthur Zanetti, won the 99th Olympic medal in Brazilian history. He's the first ever gold medal winner in artistic gymnastics. And so he and Sarah, I believe, are the only two people who won gold medals. No. Well, the ladies' volleyball team, they beat the USA, so they won gold medals, too. So those are the three gold medal winners. It's a big disappointment in a lot of ways. And Neymar and Oscar and those fellas not pulling off with the gold. I mean, they played such great. I mean, I'm just so peeved. They beat Egypt 3-2, got in front of Egypt 3-0. Egypt came back with two goals. And that was a scary game, but it's an important game because it kept them focused. They realized that people weren't going to roll over because they were the great Brazilians. Next game, they came back, and they had a good game, and they beat Belarus 3-1. They came back and shut out New Zealand 3-0. Then they came back, and they beat Honduras, who came off a huge win against Spain.
Right.
They beat Honduras 3-1, and then they shut out North Korea 3-1. So they went into the championship game with the most goals scored by anybody since 1968 in the Olympics. Since 1968. And, it was just something. One of the things said to Spain really didn't play, I think you have to be a certain age, 23 and under, and Spain somehow, it's, and I think this is people forget too, is the mindset. Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Network, the show. A lot of the countries don't take the Olympic gold medal that's serious because of the age restrictions and the fact that the Euro Cup and the World Cup is so much more important. But had Brazil won this gold medal, it'd be the first time they ever won a gold medal. And then psychologically, they're hosting the 2014 World Cup, okay? And then they have the Olympics. So I admit they would have went into the World Cup as the Olympic gold medal champion. They would have been defending the Olympic gold medal championship in Brazil, okay, in Rio de Janeiro. Those things happen. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil, the Black Widow, the Rainbow Soul, Channel Sports Devil, the show, the gang is all here. Where's Sea Wings at? I know he's not still crying in his milk over that game.
Yeah, he's still upset. He's still upset. I didn't get my 6 cents from him yet.
Doc Stanley, Sports Devil, the Black Widow, the Rainbow Soul, Channel Sports Devil, the show.
Cents, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Oh, yeah, Doc, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
In the panel.
Yeah.
Now, my neighbors over here is a Heat fan, and they asked me a personal question. They asked me, if you lost some of your money, and you need to make some money on a bet, who you bet on one-on-one, Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Tell them, has you ever heard of Dr. J?
Yeah, I told them that, but they
want
to know that question.
I tell you, know what? That's
the winner. Dr. J,
I'm going to tell you something. That's a good. I would lean toward MJ, but I'll never forget what Trent Tucker told me, and we were talking, and you know, people forget, and we're talking about two players here. So I mean, I think more people lean toward MJ, but you know, LeBron reminds me of a lot of Oscar Robertson. You know, Mike wasn't great for taking you down low. And this is what LeBron does, like Oscar does. He takes you. Walt Frazier talked about that. Walt Frazier talked about the fact that guarding the great guards. He said, I know Jerry West is coming down looking for a jump shot. Oscar's looking to take you down low. But Earl, he said, was just a brand new deck every time. And that's the thing about Oscar. You know, Oscar could, you know, Dick Von Etsy, though, Oscar, he wants an 8-foot shot. No, he wants a 6-foot shot. Oscar's going to take you down low, bump that body, bump that booty against you. It's a good basketball game. LeBron has the physical strength. This is one of the things that people forget that Stephen A. talked about when L.A. played Chicago. It was Scotty that guarded Irving Magic Johnson, not Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Okay? So, you know, I'm looking at guys like LeBron. It's a good matchup. You know, I don't know. I would lean toward MJ. I have not seen LeBron, but I know LeBron has skills like Oscar. I mean, it's the thing, you know, and now the question is posed, too. What does Mike do with Gervin? What does Mike do with Oscar? What does Mike do with Wesley? He's got to come out to get Jerry. You know, these guys.
But you know when you make matchups like that, you got to think, inject at what time of their careers.
Well, We're talking about everybody at their peak. I mean, we're not going to talk about young Jordan against the old Oscar. I mean, this is at their best. I mean, we're not putting a 27-year-old Michael Jordan against a 33 Oscar Robinson. I mean, we're talking at their best. And my money, nobody was a better all-around player than Oscar Robinson, and nobody was more exciting, more scintillating, more daredeviling than Julius. And Julius made a comment. They asked him, you know, the thing about him and Jordan. And Julius had a comment that I agree with. Julius said, at 26 years old, I couldn't imagine anybody better than me. And, you know, my thing with Jordan, and if I'm stuck with Jordan as the greatest player, I can do it. But, you know, is Jordan going to be jumping and slamming over Wilt and Thurman and Russell and Reed and Unsell? I don't think so. Okay. Connie Hawkins. You know what I mean? You know, the two things Mike had going for him. He had the exposure of international TV, which I remember George Gilles told me the great. I said, George, what's the difference between NBA and ABA? He said, CBS. CBS. TV. I mean, all the players that made the NBA what they were when they merged were ABA players. Julius told me. That's Jewel. Who's going to be the player that kind of surprised everybody in your merge? And I'll never forget, we were in the kitchen or something. I'm weird. He said, hey, they know about me, and they know about George, meaning McGinnis. He said, but Ice is the one that's going to surprise them. Now, McGinnis, in his first year in the league, led all NBA scorers in scoring. And Ice, until Mike came along, no guard had as many scoring titles as Gervin. You looked around the team. They talk about Walton. The key to that Portland team was Maurice Lucas, okay? You go around the league, and every team had an ABA player that was the foundation. David Thompson told me something. He said, you know what? You know, he said, my first year in ABA, I could make all ABA. My first year in the ABA, my first year in the NBA, not only did I make all NBA, our team won the division. I made second team all ABA. I made first team all NBA. And now, Mike, it's a good game. I think, you know, I understand people who have never seen anybody else but Jordan and can't envision anybody else being as good or better than Jordan. But, you know, an article on my blog, Box Stanley Sports In Depth, blogspot.com, there's a story. John Sally said he thought there were five guys better than Jordan. He said Jordan wasn't the top five greatest in his opinion.
Yeah,
okay,
that's what he said. I saw that on TV. He said that.
Okay,
yep.
Now he said.
Yep.
He said his five guys are Jabbar, Bird.
McHale.
He had Kevin McHale. Now he's out of whack with Kevin McHale. Okay, I don't know what it was.
You said Kevin McHale. I don't say that, Doc. Yes,
you
he
know.
Did.
Yeah. No, I know. I saw Hakeem Olajuwon. And I can't think of the fifth guy. I think it was Isaiah.
Yes, he picked Isaiah, yeah.
And he said the best player I played with was Isaiah, which was. I mean, that's his teammate. I mean, Trent Tucker, I asked Trent, who's the best one-on-one player in the league? And Trent said, he said, Mel, it's close. He said, you know, if it's Mike, Isaiah just right behind him. And Isaiah's a better ball handler, you know.
Definitely.
A better ball handler. You know, people forget, you know, Mike at one time had no jump shot. I mean, Coach
nope.
Smith talked about, you know, in times
nope.
in college, Mike would be wide open, and Coach Smith would say, you know, Mike, that's kind of tell you something, man, you know what I mean? I mean,
hey,
in a lot of ways, Jordan was the guy they want to see to shoot that ball when he beat Georgetown. Freshman, not known for his jump shot, he was the guy, and he made the shot.
I made that shot.
But you also at that time you had a better jump shot than MJ. I mean, that's the thing that made MJ. He worked and thank God.
He worked on the game.
You either had the jump shot or you don't. And this is what people didn't know. You know, Julius had his game intact when he came to the ABA and to the NBA. The problem was he went to a team of first class idiots. He went to a team of a coach with no control. I mean, any other coach, I don't understand any other coach who would have told everybody, Let's rally around Julius when McGinnis get hurt. But I don't, you know, and that's why. And Julius said something, too, in an interview. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake with the Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network show. Julius said something I'll never forget, an interview. And it shows how as often as things change, they remain the same. And Gary Ward told me something I'll never forget. He said, you know, where is Dr. I at tonight? Gary Ward said about the Yankees, said, you know, they want to win with a certain type of player, which meant basically they want to win with guys not of color. Cincinnati C, are you with us? Okay, I thought Cincinnati C had finally joined. Hope the Scoop Malinowski from Mr. Biofiles will join us too. And he said, you know, Philly didn't want him and McGinnis getting 30 points. They wanted 20 from him, 20 from McGinnis, and 20 from Doug Collins. Okay, so, you know, and, you know, Doug, I've always said, when I hear Doug talk about winning, you know, as Marion Borkin said, Marion B-Boy, he's perpetrating the fraud. I mean, you tell me, man, you know, if it's about winning, then, you know, everybody should have rode the back of Julius. And that's the thing about Chicago. That's the thing about Chicago. When push came to shove, hey, Mike, man, boom, I'll never forget. And like I said, you know, Michael, understand this. Michael Jordan was not a great basketball player. Michael Jordan was a great, great basketball player in the eyes of many. Sam Jones told me he thinks he's the greatest ever. And I remember that game against Utah, and I really wish he had pulled off. Now, but people forget that Michael Jordan loved to play this game. But all you need to know how great Mike was, first of all, his team is down by one. He comes down and makes the defensive play. And now he's coming up the floor. He's got the ball. Wow, who's going to shoot this ball? Everybody in the world
knew he was going to get it.
And everybody on Mars and Jupiter knew who's going to shoot that ball. And what I never forget was after he made that basket and the game was over, was his teammates coming out and hugging him and say, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Okay? Paying homage and showing gratitude. Now, I'll tell you this. Michael Jordan was a greater player in the NBA than what Julius Erving was. You know, I mean, he was because of
well,
the...
Well, he did his first year in the NBA, though.
No. He was a greater player because the system allowed Mike to do the things he wanted and could do.
The system did not.
The only time we saw Julius Erving in the NBA Finals his first year, and we saw Dr. J at the NBA All-Star game that year. After that, we saw flashes of Dr. J, but we never saw the consistency of Dr. J. I'm just sure how a great player Julius was. But we saw Dr. J in the NBA All-Star game that year, and we saw Dr. J in the Finals. Now, I don't understand after he won the first two games for them why the guys didn't rally around him. But it doesn't say a lot for Doug Collins. Doesn't say a lot for Lloyd Free. Doesn't say a lot for the coach, Gene Shue. George McGinnis got hurt. I remember George said, you know, I feel bad because, you know, he needs help, and you know, I'm not here for him. But, I the greatest player I ever saw all around was Oscar. But the greatest player, the thing about Julius, he was more exciting than Oscar was. But fundamentally, was nobody great all around.
Well,
but
he was consistent, man.
Yeah, huh?
He was consistent, man. That's what it was.
Who's that?
Dr. J.
Julius Erving was the all-star every year of his career in both leagues.
Yeah.
Julius Erving was the all-star, and he's the only guy outside of Bill Melchione to win an NBA and ABA championship. And he's the only guy to win the MVP in both leagues.
Sure.
Yeah. Julius went through the greatest.
I got more info for you, too, Doc.
Go ahead.
You know, Mike Krzyzewski's not going to be coaching the Olympic team no more.
Yeah, but you know.
Well,
guess
who they picked for the want to be the coach?
Who?
You just named him a few minutes ago.
Who you talking about? Doug Collins?
Yep. One more.
I heard they feel that
one more.
Yeah, but you know what? Is it hard to coach the Olympic team? If you give me the right talent, what's hard? What's so hard about coaching the Olympic team? The thing I said about Phil Jackson. What's hard about saying, okay, fellas, Mike, Scotty, BJ, Horace, Cartwright, Kukuk, you sit here for a couple of minutes, I'll get you in. Come on. I mean, what was the hardest? Okay, Shaquille, Kobe,
Come on, what was so hard about it? And same thing with Riley. I mean, what was so hard about coaching the Lakers?
Yeah.
I mean, the Riley problem was that Riley got carried away, and Will Chamberlain told me, okay, I'm not telling you where, Will told me they fired Riley. Riley, because if you remember when they played the Sixers, everybody was hurt. Everybody had hands. I mean, the thing that Derek Coleman, I heard he should tell Chuck to Chuck. You know, I can't do an hour and a half practice and come out and give you 40 minutes a night. Can't do that. Can't do that. What are we practicing for? I mean, come on. It's like, to me, Dusty, you know, it reminds like extra batting practice. For what? Extra batting practice. If you can't hit, you can't hit. But extra batting practice, what, against the batting practice pitcher who's throwing the ball for you to hit? So what are you learning? He's throwing you ball right down the middle of it. So when you face Clemens tonight, when you face Marischal tonight, when you face Koufax tonight, when you face Gibson tonight, when you face Whitey Ford, they're going to pitch like the batting practice pitcher? But you got extra batting practice.
Hey, Doc, you know what brings a smile to my face? You used to cry about having to practice all the time was AI. Iverson used to cry about having to practice all the time.
I remember AI said, they had a press conference, AI said, are we here discussing practice? Practice? I think Larry Brown is a great coach than Phil Jackson, but, you know, Larry was the kind of guy that Larry had nothing to do with the losing, all to do with the winning. If you lost the game, well, Dusty tonight, he only had 11 rebounds. Doc had 22 points, but he didn't hit no points when we need him. You know, Mel fouled out. And Hoopster, he had three turns. He had nothing to do with the losing. But when you won, the guys did a great job. It had nothing to do with the losing. Me and Stephon Mark talked about that. And he won the championship with that coach and team in Detroit because they were tailor made. They were tailor made.
Yeah.
But for my money, Larry Brown is one of the top three coaches that ever coached in the game. And to go with the Doc Stanley Trust and Doc Sports and Depth Hall of Fame, we have some Larry Brown. We have a big poster. He's autographed on the poster. The picture. One of my favorite coaches. My favorite coach is Larry Brown, outside of my man, Murph, Kevin Lockery.
It was Doc Rivers.
Doc's
a great guy with a basketball mind.
One of my prized possessions, autographed here in my Trust in God Sports and Therefore DocStanleySports.com. Check that site, DocStanleySports.com. Also, check my blog, DocStanleySportsInDepth.blog.spot. And one autograph picture that I have from Doc Rivers, and it simply says, from one doc to another. From one doc to another, you know what I mean? And a great basketball player out of Chicago. And, people forget there's a little hassle down then, because, he happens to have a wife that's Caucasian. So there was things said, along the line, like Derek Jeter. People haven't been cognizant of the hate mail that he got for so-called dating white girls and stuff, But class guys who never let it surface, never let them bother, just like a duck, let it roll off their back. You know what I mean? Derek Sanderson, Jeter, I will say this again and again and again. I've added this now. Where's number two? Because he's second to none as a person. That's a baseball player. Derek Jeter is everything that Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be, everything that Mickey Mantle wasn't.
Right.
Doc Stanley, Sports Network for the Blake, the Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network for the show. In fact, we may be a little quick. Okay, we got the Hoopster. We got Dusty. And,
yeah, ready to go, Doc. I'm ready to break
okay,
out.
Now who else is with me here tonight? Is C-Wings here?
No, he's still upset, man. Leave him alone.
Hey, Doc, let me tell you, C is still stewing because
he's still upset, man.
He's upset, because he just called in the NFL.
All the way from the game last night, man, he just kept. Okay, I've got an extra caller. Who's my extra caller?
This is C Wings, not in studio.
He's in tonight. He's incognito.
Not on location. Actually, headed back into the city on the Long Island.
How's Tebow doing? How's Sanchez doing?
Tebow and Sanchez, they're icing themselves for being on the ground so long.
Hey, C, we know why you have an attitude. It's because your Jets are the only team
in the NFL that failed to score a point as of yet.
Wow. Wow. But they have a long way to go. The Jets definitely they have a long way to go. They have a lot of depth to build up in the running game, the big time on the offensive line, and the wide receiver core. I mean, all you have is Santonio Holmes, and that can only last for so long. If he doesn't get the ball like he wants, look out. You have a lot of controversy. You're going to have that firecracker going. You're not going to have the leadership like you had a couple of years ago when they went to the first two AFC championship games. You don't have that there. So, you know, the Jets, they're still a team that's looking for a, I would say, offensive identity. Because last night, they looked tired, they looked slow. People looked confused after the first down that they made. And he was sacked four times. Sanchez was sacked three times, technically two, because the sack by Justin Tuck was negated by the offense. Yeah, I mean, they were both running for their lives yesterday. A big thing about Tebow, he looked confused when his running lane was blocked. He looked like he didn't know where to go.
Well, he didn't know where to go.
What do I do? So
he didn't know where to go. But, you know, there was that play that was big where he had the guy open. And it took me, I don't know, he underthrew the ball. And at the same time, the end slipped. And that would have been a touchdown.
Yeah,
but
he would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, but more importantly, looking at him, he seemed to be more relaxed. Not more relaxed, but the offense seemed to move with him.
Yeah.
You know?
The crowd was with him, because when he came on board, you could hear the yays and the applause and the screams.
But
even
with the crowd, Dusty, I mean, regardless with the crowd or not, the offense just seemed to move with him. He just seemed to move the offense a lot better than Sanchez did. You know, it just seemed to move with him, and they did think. I think Rosie's trying to get with us now. Let's see, Rosie's trying to say
a little bit better.
Better is better. You know, gain is gain, no matter how much you gain. Let's see what Rosie got to say, gang. Okay, everybody, Rosie is saying good night, which is bonote in abraço, hug bonote in Portuguese. She's gonna, because she's our biggest fan. She saves the show, goes to the archives. Everybody say good night, Rosie. Everybody say good night, Rosie.
Good night, Rosie.
Come on, Rosie. Say good night, Rosie. Dusty, hold on.
Buenas noches, Rosie.
Just gave everybody a hug. Yeah, here's a hug. Okay. Muito obrigado por você ouvir novamente meu programa. Te adoro. Benício. Boa noite. Okay. Boa noite, boys. Obrigado. Okay. Rosie says good night. I got to tell her good night real quick for everybody here. She's going to leave. We give a little wave goodbye. A little kiss here with my little thing. And we also, everybody was glad that her father's doing better. Her father was sick, but now he's back home. So she's glad to have dad back home. We're glad to have back home. And her parents had the anniversary, so saying happy anniversary. Feliz aniversario de padres, de noche, de adoro, y mañana. We'll say goodbye. Doc Stanley, Sports Up with the Blake, but Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Up for the show. And, well, okay, let's talk Jets. I mean, the Metro Life Ball, they lost again. Cincinnati C. Was there anything positive that we got out of yesterday's game?
The only thing that was positive, it showed which team is the better team, the quiet team and the team that won the Big Lombardi Trophy last Super Bowl. So that was a positive there. It does show Jets need a lot of work. A lot more training camp. We do have a lot of rookies, especially at the wide receiver. Joe McNally, the roughing the passer call that killed the Jets last night. I think it was 8 penalties for over 75 yards. That's a killer. You can't go into the season. I know guys are going to make mistakes and penalties, but when you have costly penalties like that, that can kill a drive. And you see Sanchez and Tebow, they were running for their lives back there. It's just
no, there's nothing new there.
Out in Sanchez, but he even got frustrated, Tebow, when he was sacked. They're not protecting these guys. And the question is, can they? You know, I don't think it was all Wayne Hunter's fault. The team definitely, there was some miscommunications there. The positive, I would say, on the Jets was the defense. Defense made a lot of good plays yesterday, stopped a couple of the drives because in the first half, Manning, he didn't throw a touchdown either. Actually, Sanchez had a higher passer rating. So clearly, Sanchez is a better quarterback, but he needs the weapons. You can put a Tom Brady on this team, you can put a Drew Brees on this team, and they'll struggle just the same way that Sanchez and Tebow are struggling. Especially a quarterback like Brady, who's strictly a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. He's not a very mobile quarterback. I don't know how Sanchez is going to take it to the next level without the weapons. ESPN,
he's not going to be able to do it on his backseat. I mean, he has no offensive line. Guys running for his life on every play.
Hey, Rudy, come on, Rudy. You'd have to go there with that. Rudy said, hey, who's in here, Rudy? Rudy said, he can't do it on his back. Hey, come on, Rudy.
No, Rudy, Blocky can't. I mean, rumor has it. I mean, I know you guys were at the game, but I don't think you saw this. Rumor has it that they gave up a sack on the way out of the tunnel.
But you know what? Like ESPN today was talking. They were expecting Sanchez to hold on to the ball a little bit longer. But if he does, he's going to end up in the hospital.
He really
is. The guy is running for his life. He has to get rid of that ball because he's not being protected to give him that extra two or three step to get set and look around and put that ball right where he needs to put it for the wide receiver or fullback, whoever he's throwing to, Sean Green. But he doesn't have the time. And I looked at Tebow yesterday, frustrated. He was frustrated. And you just can't. I don't see how Sanchez is going to have a breakout year without the weapons. And just like on ESPN today, they were saying they should have never got rid of Braylon Edwards, Brad Smith, Jericho Cotchman. Those were his go-to guys.
Oh, now, back up. Okay, two questions here. Why did they get rid of the guys? They didn't want to pay the guys. And number two, dag, Rooney, all these guys seem to be guys of color. I mean, it's an amazing thing, you know, no matter where you go, nobody wants to pay an African-American athlete. I don't
understand. You're right, Doc.
I mean, it's mind-blowing. I mean, no matter who you are or what, look at New England. It's not the Patriot way. And Larry, Larry Hardesty kind of defended that system, you know, but it's not the Patriot way. So they didn't want to pay Randy. And Belichick said, hey, look, quit screaming about getting paid and boom, boom, bing, bing, bing. I remember Leland was saying something to Barry Bonds about that one time, and, you know, Barry kept going, and Barry got paid. Barry left, but I mean, it's just amazing that when it comes to an athlete of color, there's always a problem with the green. It's just amazing. You got to pay Brady. And I heard there's some rumblings about Welker, but I didn't hear it to the degree that I heard it with Moss. How could you not have paid Randy Moss? Randy Moss was the reason why they were undefeated. And had their defense played better, they couldn't play too much better. Guy, lucky. Randy Moss was the reason why New England Patriots went into that Super Bowl undefeated. And Tom Brady told him that when he got there. He said, you know what? With you on the team, we got a chance to run the table. And it showed in stats that when he left, that Welker's passes, yardage-wise, went down. Passes per game. I mean, he made, I mean, he was a difference, but it just you know, as Don King says, it was the birth rate tomorrow. Only in America, man, do you have this constant problem that is always a problem to pay an athlete of color. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just amazing. And you know, and the guy who raised the bar for everybody was Ali. Ali was the guy that raised the bar for everybody. This is something I remember being in the press room. Dr. Stanley Sports Network, the Blake with the Network Rainbow, so the Channel Sports Network, the show. It is a Sunday show. We'll probably may do 10 o'clock from now on, gang. But I remember Ernie Shaver said something, never forget. We're in the press room. And this was after I had, to show you how things never change, Bill Bergen did a great story on Ali. Outstanding writer. Man, where the heck is Bill? I haven't seen Bill in years. And Bill did a story about Ali, and he said, you know, he ended the story with the great line that Ali has been a champion three times when some guys have never been once, and he's made millions when some people have never made one. And I think I've been redundant in telling the story. And I was in the press room, the great Madison Garden press room, when it still was a press room, Rooney. We had the flair and the vibrance of the yesteryear mind. And I said, Bill, that was a great story, then, Ali. I'll never forget what he told me, Dusty. I'll never forget it, C-Wings. He said, Mel, you can't believe how hard it was for me to get that story in when it wasn't your typical, okay, poor, broke, down on his luck fight story. I said, Bill, but this is Ali. Okay? Hey, Dusty, he said it took him 2 years to get the story in. 2 years on Ali! 2 years! And Ernie Shavers was there. And Ernie Shavers said, you know, we said something. He said, well, you know, every athlete owes Ali. And I knew the answer. And I said, well, why, Ernie? Ernie said, before Ali came along, guys were making $20,000, $25,000 fighting for the heavyweight champion of the world. $20,000, $25,000 fighting for the heavyweight champion of the world. Changed the whole school. Him, I mean, they act like Curt Flood never existed. This whole free, at every ball, and I, you know, and this saddens me to say this, because I should have been there. Eddie Murray last week had a statue, and I apologize to him too. He had a statue and unveilment. Brooks Robinson and Cal Ripken will be others already. Frank Robinson and Jim Palmer. I was invited to it while I didn't get my information in time, and he was saluted for being one of the greatest switch hitter in history of baseball altogether. And you know, you would think you hardly ever hear the name of Curt Flood, who was a guy who started the whole thing for free, knowing what the concept was going to be. And you know, it's the same thing that I tell so many of my Hispanic brothers, and I have to tell people of other cultures, you know what, I say, hey, you know, all of the civil rights that you have, you know, you want that. You want the civil rights movement to, you know, you want the hose down, you want bit, your churches want bombed, you know what I mean? You want beat with sticks, you want denied jobs, your women want beaten, raped, and you know, you did nothing to get this. But you gotta remember, Farmer and Abernathy and King and Meredith and Mrs. Bolton.
Folks paid a lot of dues.
Who got this for you, and you act like, and I ain't talking about just my Latin brothers, I'm talking about, you know, the Italians, the Jews, the Greeks, who come here and get on these plans that allow them to get money. I mean, it's amazing how they say that Social Security is going bankrupt and they're taking money from Social Security with other plans, but all of the civil rights benefits that everybody was, affirmative action worked more for the white female than it did for the African-American race.
That's what benefited the most.
It worked for the white female more than it did for the African. It's like we had the Afro. Next thing you know, these white guys would blow out Afros. You know what I mean?
And let me say this just quickly, Doc, in regard to your point about Curt Flood. Folks forget that he didn't do this for him. He would have had his.
Rooney, you hit it right on the head. Curt Flood. Rooney, you're right. I mean, I'm going to let you go in a minute. On Curt Flood understood this was about for baseball, not for black baseball players, not for minority baseball players, not for Latin baseball players, not for guys. This was for BASE, BALL players. This was for the family. This is for everybody, and it's amazing how you hardly ever hear
his name
mentioned. You know what I mean? Not to mention, I remember Kirk Flood. I got an interview with Kirk Flood here. One of my prized possessions, once again, in the Trust in God Sports and Deaf Entertainment Arts Hall of Fame, I have an autographed Kirk Flood ball, picture, and interview that I have on tape. I got to pull it out. And one of the things he talked about, we laughed. He said, you know what? He said, you know, I want some gold gloves. He said, you know, and he said, that's not bad to be a center fielder in the same year as Willie Mays. That there was a Sports Illustrated article where it had him rated the number one center fielder in baseball. Of course, ain't nobody ever better than Willie Mays. But the point is, this guy could play the game. This guy was a world champion, okay, on the St. Louis Cardinals. This guy was no ordinary baseball player. But it's just amazing how you never hear anything about Kurt Flood. And guys are going to arbitration. Guys are he'll be a free agent next year. I mean, I think even into baseball and other sports, when we talk this thing about, you know, restricted free, It was Kurt Flood. But you never hear anything about what Kurt Flood did.
And looking towards the future, Doc, and this is a line that Dusty loves. But, you know, he had his money made. He obviously sacrificed his goal for the betterment of others. Because 100 large in those days, that was a lot of coin.
Hey, listen, Rooney, I could do a lot with 100 large right now.
Yeah,
yeah. But in those days, it was $1 million value. I mean that's
how
money was. But he was the sacrificial lamb by his own desire to build up, you know, and help others. But there are a lot of dudes who just don't relate to him and perhaps don't
Dusty,
even know
Dusty,
the history
Dusty,
of what
Dusty,
he went
Dusty,
through.
Dusty, because you late. How much is this he's not related to? How much is this he's not recognized? How much is this because he's African-American, Dusty?
Totally. The whole three questions that you asked me, man. I mean, the guys don't relate, because African-American or whatever, you know. Remember you and I talked about it. We talk almost every day. Are we racially
Dusty,
paranoid?
Dusty, don't tell everybody that. Now, my God, blew every guy. Took my credit card. No, because I want to say this person's opinion. Nobody stays more aware. I mean, you know what? If I could give you his number, don't cut the 10-10 wins. Don't cut the CBS. Just call Dusty. He knows it. Just call Dusty. I mean, I hear something happen. You know, if I hear it on the news, so I say, let me call Dusty to make sure this is true. he's like Phineas J. Whoopi, you know, the man with all the... You know,
oh, he will not fail. Remember Phineas J.
Phineas
good job,
J. Whoopi, the man with all that. Man, I turn to CBS News, and there's a song, so I say, hey, man, let me call Dusty. Let me find if this is true or not.
Hey, well, Doc, since you're on the subject, I got a quick one for Dust. Hey, Dust, since you are one of the gurus who knows so much, will the Jets score a point in the preseason?
Will the Jets score a point in the preseason?
Yes, will they score any points before the preseason is over, Doug? I believe
they
have no points during the entire preseason.
Well, they scored one yesterday, didn't they?
No.
It was a field goal.
Did they finally put you on the board? I think you may be right, yeah.
Yeah, they scored a field goal on the TV, on the Tebow.
Yeah,
no,
and it would have been 10 if the dude has not slipped. He was by himself. He could have sat down in a rocking chair, had a couple of pina coladas, and nobody was covering him. He just freaking slipped, and I said, "Oh my Lord, man!" And he just dropped the ball. But no, they scored 3 points on a field goal. I mean, Tebow drove the team. You know. Drove the team to within field goal range, you know. But other than that, are they going to score anything? I don't know. Your guess is good as mine. You know.
I'd say the over and under is 21 for the entire preseason, Doc. That's my over and under, 21.
Yeah. How many games? Five games preseason or something like that?
No, only four. They got two more games. They're going to Sunday night against Carolina.
Well, that's good. Only four. offensive touchdown. Because there would have been, there would be 0-4, 0-5, 0-20 before the season starts. So that's no, really. It's a sad situation, you know.
T Wings, no, you there yesterday? You watching the Giants, and you made a very big point about how and all of this that Sanchez did outperform Manning, and you know, the Manning gets a lot of props, and I think in a lot of ways he rides off of the championships. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's moving toward greatness, but I think people forget how much the Giant defense picks him up and allows him to make mistakes and erase a lot of errors that he makes, and more importantly, give him a comfort zone that Sanchez doesn't have anymore.
You're absolutely right with that, Doc. Definitely the defense, but also he has a pretty good offensive line too. But there's one key thing that I noticed that Manning does when he's under pressure and when he's about to take that hit. He launches that ball and he kind of twists in like a fetal position to soften that blow that he's about to take. You know, Sanchez and Tebow, they don't have that luxury because you have that train coming with no driver, full steam ahead, and there's no barrier between you. So he takes the luxury of a few extra seconds, even if it's to get rid of the ball. These guys are just trying to keep the ball from being fumbled when they take that hit. So definitely the Giants are clearly a better team, has been historically over the Jets, and the Jets have a lot of work to do. If they don't get it together in that game, yesterday's game was key. That was the game where the guys that are trying to make the roster, because come after the Philly game, it's going to be down to a 53-man roster. So this is where you should see these guys really shining, trying to make the roster. They just look like a day in headlights yesterday.
Cincinnati C, I put in my notes, you know, names that we happy birthday Don King. Also, there was you talked about it, but the thing too that I put in there also was Rex Ryan. I mean, Rex Ryan is I get the feeling that it's more of if the axe falls, it's going to fall on Tannenbaum quicker than it's going to fall on Rex Ryan. I mean, that's one feeling I have. And the other thing is the changes that were made, I'm pretty sure Rex didn't want to see the guys go that win. He was winning with these guys. So, I mean, you know, you're close to the team and stuff. Were these decisions by Tannenbaum and Woody? I mean, who made these decisions that last year was so blatantly obvious and has taken Sanchez, who now was at a state, this was going to be the breakout year to take off the training wheels. I mean, he instead of taking off training wheels, he's taking off cast and Band-Aids. Whose decision were these? I mean, they have to come from upset. I mean, I know Coach has some input, but, I mean, why was these the distractions and detractions made when they shouldn't have been made? I mean, I'll never forget, we were there, Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake with the Rainbow Soul Chess Sports Up Show. I'll never forget, I can't think of his name now, when we came into the press conference at the Pittsburgh game, the guy from that we got from Florida, came from the Dolphins, and he talked about how bad. Jason talked about how the chemistry and the talent and the place that you know, this team is not coming back next year intact like this. I mean, because some things are going to happen that's not going to allow that to happen. And he said, and he felt so bad about that because it was such a special football team. And instead of losing a little bit of that, they evidently lost a lot of that.
A lot of it. Yeah.
In fact, even the loss of Jason Taylor was a big loss.
Wow, that's
because
you
he
know,
was a veteran who knew the game. Unfortunately, I think he got hurt towards the end of the season, and was he was like bruised.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a catalyst in making them and the successful team that it was at that time.
He was an integral part of a very fine football team. But I'm just thinking, it goes back to what I said, that it always seemed to be a problem to pay guys of color. I mean, I even remember the problem that came about with Emmitt Smith with the Dallas Cowboys, where Emmitt had to sit out. I mean, how did Emmitt Smith sit out? Emmitt had to sit out, and then you turn around and Troy Aikman, I mean, just automatically paid him. Same thing with Brady. And he just automatically paid Brady, he's automatically got his money, and you know, everybody said, well, that's Tom Brady. Yeah, but, you know, that showed that Tom Brady was a very good quarterback before Randy Moss came. When Randy Moss got there, he was an exceptional quarterback. And what masks this and perpetrates a fraud in the great statement of Marion B. Boykin, greatest boxing show in the history of television, only place on this planet, and B stands for Black Bodacious Brain and Brother, was that by him winning the MVP, that sort of was like a smokescreen about, well, he didn't need Moss and he's a great quarterback, but statistically, he had not been the same quarterback. I wish I had kept those stats that Randy Moss. I'll never forget the year that Ricky Henderson won the MVP, and they said what a great year Cecil Fielder had, and boom, 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 bing, bing, bing. Ricky almost won the batting title. And next year, Cecil had the same kind of year, and they gave the MVP to Cal Ripken Jr. And Cal Ripken was on the second division team, was nowhere in the running. Here, Ricky, the year before, team had won the division, went into the World Series, he almost won the batting title, and, Cecil had the same kind of year, but now all of a sudden there was no discrepancy, there was no shame. And like I said, I don't understand, Steve Wings, why would you dismantle a team that was successful?
I think definitely it would have to come from the management and ownership. Jay Jericho Country had some injury problems. He was injury prone towards the end when they traded him. But out of the three, I definitely think he should have kept Brad Smith and Braylon Burks. I mean, you could use Brad Smith for the Wildcat, wideout running. Braylon Edwards was good, especially in the middle of the field and on the sidelines. You look back into the...
He came with some good play. And you talk about something,
because
too.
He was a good defender, too, Braylon Edwards. In fact, he's with the Seattle Seahawks now, I think. He was not only a receiver. Some guys just receive and they don't do anything, and that's all they do. But Braylon Edwards was also a defender, man. That guy was like a running back or something. I mean, not a running back, a defensive end or something to defend against the one who was the primary receiver. You know, he did a lot of blocking.
He was a good blocker. He was a good blocker. A lot of times, you bring that point up. A lot of times, you would see somebody catch the ball, and there he was throwing a block.
He was throwing a block and
leading the way. Yeah, exactly. Tremendous point there. Tremendous point.
Why wouldn't they keep these guys? We can conjecture and suppositions and add and detract, but we don't have the fine line, even though we think and we feel and we know why. Because I always say and I repeat like a broken CD, I mean, Sanchez did not need Tebow, he needed Donovan McNabb, and that man would have straightened out this sucker a long time ago, man. The thing with Tebow, that mentally, we got along, we're pals and we work along, but deep down in Sanchez's head, this guy's going to take my job. And that's, you cannot help but feel that way. You cannot
help but feel that's what's going to happen. Dusty, your mission, should you accept it, is find out what's going on.
But you know what, Doc? I don't think that
I can't understand the mindset of the Jets picking up Derek Mason and then get rid of him. You have Bunnell, who you don't use, and you could have picked up Dr. McNabb. It doesn't make any sense. You need to get rid of the Jets. You expect them to do the same and have the same results. It's not going to happen.
Gentlemen, hold on. Let's do a quick commercial break. We'll be right back because we're moving to the last hour of Sports Up on the Blank Radio. We're Rainbow Soul, just Sports Up for the show. Doc Stanley and the TSI. Give us a minute.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports in Depth for the show. It is the last hour. So Sports Never on a Sunday. Sports Wrap the Posse's here. This Dino Baby Lewis. Jr. Cincinnati Sea Wings Raymond and the Hoopster Lewis Hart. Lady A is on assignment. Nate B. Baseball is tracking down stuff in the world of baseball. Harold West. I think it's now doing some boxing cards. We got to get a hold of that group. Looking for Mr. Biofiles to call us. And we want to mention some of the shows that are on at the same time we are today. I want to thank also the First Lady of Video, Ms. Deidre Shuler, and also always saluting our CEO and head man up there, Neil Blake. Sheila, who comes up before us, her show, and there's Sugar and Spice show, and a host of things here on Blake and the Red Book. So we enjoy you being with us, always saluting our good friend Rosie for joining us. Real quick, Rooney, because I thought about you, man. I was looking at something the other today. That is it. Brock Lesnar is Lesnar was the youngest man ever to win the championship in the WWE when he beat Rock a couple years ago, right?
He did. A former NCAA collegiate champion, I believe, from Nebraska. Big guy, about 6'4" or so, anywhere from 260 to 290, depending on which federation he's in. He's been the World Wrestling Federation and also the UFC, Mixed Martial Arts Champion, Ultimate Fighting. So he's been both.
And, youngest man. Now, it's the 20th anniversary, too. I think he's coming back to do something in that venue.
He has a big pay-per-view coming up with Paul Affair, otherwise known as Triple H, Hunter.
Yeah, right, okay.
Be his ring name. Who was also the son-in-law of World Wrestling Federation chairman, Vince McMahon. He's married to Vince's daughter, Stephanie, and he is, you know, has a lot of say-so in the promotion. Been around a long time, one of the more popular, you know, wrestlers in the Federation. And, yeah, he has a big match coming up with Brock Lesnar in the upcoming pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
Pay-per-view of the WWE.
Yeah, I was talking about somebody. Doc Stanley, Sports Up with Blake, and the Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Up, Michelle the Hoopster. And he went back to the studio along with, I guess that was too much of Cincinnati C, talking about those J-E-T-S Jets, the Metro Bowl, which is the second year in a row, I believe the Giants have won it. It's the second time. You know, it's amazing setup. The Giants have a good deal here. I mean, they were the visiting team, but they're on the, you know, that's up. You're the visiting team on your home field. And that was a turning point game last year for both of those teams when they had the Giants had just won a couple of big games and they had to play the Jets at home. And I said, wow, for all intents and purposes, all their home games were home. They're big games because they played, they had three games at home, and if you added a Jet game, that made it four. So what it turned out was that they really weren't on the road, because even though they were the visiting team, they were playing a game in New York. That turned out to be pivotal. It was a game that they had to win, and the Jets couldn't lose, and the Jets did lose. They win, and as I say, history tells us what happened. Let me read you a nice, I got to start reading some of my more biblical verses, and this is some cards I had. I don't know where I did all these cards, but I used to put them in letters, but this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's Psalms 118:28 verse. 100 Psalms are my mother's favorite verse. And the translation in today's lingo or society, the flip side of the card, and it says something that's really so profound and something that I really need to comprehend at times, and it says, the past is written. Close the book on pages sad and gay. Within the future, do not look, but live today, today. Amen. One more time for you, gang. The past is written. Close the book on pages sad and gay. Within the future, do not look, but live today, today. It reminds me of that great line I read years ago, today is worth two tomorrows. And the great line is, Eleanor Roosevelt once said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a present. And just reading that. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network Show. It's a Sunday night wrap-up. We thought, you know, Dusty, it's amazing. Yeah. The Yankees are playing such outstanding baseball. And that's New York. It's like, ho-hum, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, in spite of a lot of things. And I Joe Girardi should have really, it's amazing how everybody, I mean, well, the manager of the year, everybody's talking about it's going to be Buck Showalter down there in Baltimore and National League. No question, David Johnson. But, you know, guys like Dusty Baker and Buck, Dusty Baker and Joe, who do, you know, great jobs. I mean, people think because you've got a Mercedes Benz that, you know, it doesn't need maintenance, you know, and it does need maintenance. And Joe, I thought, did a great job last year. I thought my buddy Curtis Granderson, I don't understand how a guy who was second in the major league in home runs, first in the major league in scored runs, third in the major league in RBIs, makes a great player every game. How did he lose the MVP to a guy that pitches every fifth day? It's just amazing.
I think it was two Yankees, Cano and Curtis Granderson, wasn't it?
But the thing is, I mean, it had to be Granderson. I mean, here's a guy batting in the second hole who hit 41 home runs. In the second hole, 41 home runs, the most scored runs in baseball. Okay, 116 runs batted in. The first player since Willie Mays to go into the All-Star game with over 20 home runs and 7 triples. And he is, to date, only the second player in American League history. Okay,
you got to take the history of the ones who deserved and didn't get it, because the ones who did not deserve got it. You got to go back to Girardi and Willie Randolph, man. That still burns me. It still gives me a freaking ulcer, man. You know, and here this man takes the floor mat of the National League, the Mets, and brings them to one strike away from the World Series. And Girardi didn't do even half of that with the, what was it, the Florida Marlins and all that. And he gets Manager of the Year.
He got fired.
So the man got fired and wound up
Manager of the Year.
Yeah. So and then of course he's recruited back by Torrey to take over the Yankees so that Willie doesn't get it.
You bring a point up, and we've got 90 people know I call you every day. Oh my goodness, I face the guys and all. And you bring a point up though on the serious side that I remember Audrey Chambers say, because you know, how do you fire?
You've got mail.
How do you fire the batting coach of the world champion team? What did he do wrong? Well, didn't hit enough home runs. And she said something that was so profound. She said, you know, they didn't want Willie or her husband around to be there and get the job by deduction. Is that obvious?
Yeah. You know, this is why you have to churn that pot and try to find the rationales or the reasons, even though you know the reasons. And it's perpetual. You'll continue doing that and continue over and over and over and over again in these stupid sports, man, where they make these stupid decisions, and you say, wait.
You know, Dusty, you're being, in the words, I forgot, far too kind. Because, first of all, it is obvious, Black. I mean, I look at 1954, and how did Yogi Berra win the MVP in 1954? The Cleveland Indians ran away with the pennant. They had the batting champion, they had the home run champion, and they had the RBI champion. The problem was that the home run champion happened to be the same guy, and the problem was he happened to be Larry Doby, who happened to be black. How can you lead the league in RBIs on the pennant winning team and then throw in the fact that you led the league in home runs and, yep, you know, and Yogi Berra won it? I mean, and then that was
because
the year.
Yogi Berra is Yogi Berra.
Yeah, I hate it. Yogi Berra,
Larry Doby, Larry Doby. I mean, how else can you spell it out, man? You know, it's a lot of atrocities, man. And, you can't reverse them. You could protest. You could say whatever you want to do. But, these things happen. I mean, you look at all along, like I keep saying, a lot of these guys are loose ends, ball players of color. Are loose ends that could be used in any team. They could be picked up on any team. These are veteran guys, man. And they have more trouble being picked up by any team for whatever excuse, you know. And meantime, you got the pale-faced recidivist that goes from team to team to team to team to team, and even the coaches from team to team to team to team, and their guys who are still unemployed, man, you know, and they have put up good numbers. Whatever happened to the guy that was on the dungeon with the Colts? Have you ever seen him hired by somebody?
Who's that?
Have you seen him somewhere? The guy who was on the dungeon with the Indianapolis Colts.
No, nobody. Dusty, you know what?
Skip nobody the picked him up, right?
No, mission. Forget the other mission. This is your mission. That's the mission. We just mentioned with you. It's amazing. Here this guy took his team to Dunny undefeated season in his first year, won the most games ever by a coach in his first year, most consecutive wins, and it's like he, you know, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right. What happened to him? You know, what happened to him? You know, this. Here's another story. Oh my God, you're rocking my brain here. Remember the three judges? The three judges that judged the Paul Williams Arislandi Lara fight, and they got suspended, right?
Right.
They were sent back to school. The only one of color is still unemployed. He can't find a judgeship. He cannot judge a fight. He's still unemployed. The other ones already judging. How do you figure? I read that the other day. I said, I can't believe this dude, man. The three of them wore trophies.
In fact, you know what? It's funny. He was the only one that I saw a picture of in the paper, too.
And he's still unemployed to judge a fight. So how do you figure, man? How do you figure? Mm-hmm. Like I said, these recidivists and the returnees, while these still young, fresh minds and still competitive, are unemployed. I was happy to see that they unretired Randy Moss and brought him to the 49ers. That's my dark horse for the soup, the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
I could be dead wrong, but that's my dark horse for the soup. These guys are really going to make a statement.
I believe they caught Brandon Jacobs off the other day with the 49ers with a knee injury of some type.
Yeah, he got hurt in the last game and he had to pull out. But he gets hurt, but the man's still an animal, man. But the fact of the matter is that. That's my dark horse. I mean, you know, having those three or four key guys that they picked up from not only a winning team like the Giants, but here's a veteran like Randy Moss, you know, and, you know, they because let me tell you something. The Giants, not fortunate, but they barely held on to win to beat the 49ers. I was more concerned about the 49ers than I was with the Patriots.
I felt without question that they were going to have no problem with the Patriots.
The Patriots. But I was more concerned with the 49ers than the Patriots, you know. And once they got past the 49ers, this is a slam dunk.
Cakewalk.
The slam dunk or cakewalk. Because I didn't think Brady was going to be. Brady's mind was, oh, crap, I got to fight these guys again. I mean, that's the impression I got from him. He said, oh, my God, I got to deal with the Giants again. He would have loved to have dealt with anybody else but not the Giants because they have his number.
They have his number. The Giants just seem to have his number, the Patriots and Belichick.
Yeah, and being that he's still walking with a brace from that season-ending injury, and he already had a bad right shoulder. There was no way that he was going to out quarterback Eli Manning. Then we got a little breaks with Gronkowski hurting his leg, but he was formidable enough. You know, but the other guys, because the other guys were troublesome, Welker and Hernandez. But there's just that. The whole chemistry was just broken down because they knew they had to fight the Giants again, and that's you know, you can see it in their faces, man. But it's the same story all over again. You know, you can wonder and ask and question and criticize, but you know, we're left out of the game. We're left out. You know, money's not good enough for us. I mean, we're not good enough to be paid. They're not going to give us any money. They're not going to give us any money that they reserve, you know, for the pale faces, man. You know, nothing you can do about that.
Well, I heard that one. Kemosabe, I heard that one a long time. The pale faces.
Yeah, yeah. Little for you, Lone Ranger. I'm with them.
Doc Stanley, Sports of Depth on the Blake. We're never at Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports of Depth of the show. We're here. Yeah, we got about another good half hour, so maybe because of what we. But now, what's happened with the Yankee game, Dust?
The Yankees won 4-1. This Corona guy, he pitched a 3 or 4 hitter. He seems to be coming into his own, you know, and he's done very well. And Soriano got the save.
I think he has showed. Nate B. Bayfield not with us, but and, you know, you Mel Cassell, I think he showed that, I mean, there's never going to be a Mariano Rivera, but we found somebody that can
absolutely
do the job.
Yeah,
he's filled in very, very nicely, Doc. He really has. He's gotten the job done and filled in very, very nicely and you know, in the absence of Rivera.
He's done it In a very efficient and yet
quiet way.
Quiet, and even though it's like with Mir, you see him and you don't see him.
He's just kind of under the radar, Doc. Comes in, gets the job done. Not a lot of fanfare, but, you know, gets the job done.
Well, no, where's the husband?
That's my dog. But, you know, what it is that he was under the radar with Tampa Bay, I believe. I think he won. He had 42 saves, you know. And he came over here very quietly, and they have big expectations from him, you know, and, you know, the media capital of the world. And that's basically why he may have been under pressure, because everybody kept saying, this is Rivera's replacement, or he's a saver, he's a setup man, and all that New York media pressure of what he had to do. There are times in the beginning he wasn't too consistent, and he blew a couple of saves, but then he's been on the money. He already has, what, 23, 24 saves?
I think he had 29 saves. Let's get back to Jets real quickly. I got some notes to Jets Center. I want to thank also our Jet people. Love them dearly. The lovely Megan Gilmore. Lovely into words of describing. Jared Wheatley, my man. The main man there, and Bruce Spite. So I saw his lovely wife and daughter at the game yesterday. And questions from the Prost notes on what Coach Ryan said to them after the game. It obviously wasn't our best night. We need to put our heads down, keep working, fight through a couple of preseason games, and we'll get a chance to play probably the better part of a game with our starters next week. That's the last real dress rehearsal before Buffalo. We will really get into the film this week. We have a long week to prepare, look at our mistakes, improving them. This is basically the message. He stayed positive, knowing that we are a better team than what we've showed. On his interception, I threw the ball a little bit behind PT, Patrick Turner, and the defensive back made a pretty good play. But I have to see it on film. I was accurate for the most part all night. One, I felt good. That just goes to show how fragile the ball is. If you miss by a little bit in this league, they will take the ball back. That's one you like to have back, and I know I can complete that pass. On how the offensive played, we struggled. We started moving the ball well, and we had a couple of penalties early. We had a holding in the red zone on the screen there, and then we have a third and short. We had a false start penalty. That's no good. We had an interception. That can't happen. We were good in spurts, but I know we can play better than that up front. I know we can block those four-man rush looks. I've seen our guys do it, and I know we have the right personnel. We'll get that stuff right, and we'll improve. And whether the team should be worried about the lack of offensive production, Rex said it too after the game. It's the second preseason game. It's not time to hit the panic button. You have to improve and learn from this stuff. I know we can do it. I've seen this team play much better than this. I've seen it in practice. The encouraging thing is we have the right personnel. These guys will go watch the film. They'll go study, understand why it happened, come out next week, and play well. Okay? On trusting his offensive line. Let me get the notes on here. Yeah, to stay positive, trust those guys. It's like they trust me to make the throw to Turner. And we'll end it there on those. No, okay, turn to Turner. And just like they know I'm accurate enough to complete that ball instead of the throw, that interception that got returned for touchdown. It's a two-way street. We have all to be accountable, and I know our guys will hold themselves accountable individually. On Wayne Hunter's play, I know Wayne Hunter can do it. That's the thing. There's your guy, Rooney. I know Wayne Hunter can do it. That's the thing. I've seen him play really well. He's a big, strong guy. He's smart. He's going to study and work hard. We have all the faith in the world in him. It was just not his best night. And when you said there's a lot of nights in his best night. On the offense, not scoring a touchdown yet in preseason, we have to put the ball in the end zone. That's for sure. Some of that self-inflicted stuff, the false start, the holding and interception, that stuff can't happen. When we're standing, starting to put ourselves in scoring position, we kind of hurt ourselves there. It's across the board. We just have to get better and be sharper. On whether the team should be worried about the lack of offensive production, Rex said it best after the game. He said, look, it's the second preseason game. We have to score points, but there's no reason to hit the panic button right now. But he repeats himself perfectly, too, on if he wants to see better play from the offensive in the preseason. Of course, that's the plan. We're not just out there playing around. Yeah, some of these media ask crazy. Doc Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Dev, the show. It is a Sunday, and it is wrap up. Yankees win.
Pittsburgh won.
The Jets didn't win again. Jets did show some offensive life there for a little while. Giants won. Sergio was winning. Roger Federer won a big match out in Cincinnati as he's getting ready to come in here for the U.S. Open. That starts a week after next, so Federer's on a roll. I think Tiger Woods is going to be at that PGA tournament out on Long Island in Bethpage. I have to check into that. JETS Jets will be next Sunday night game, a big game. Cam Newton broke all the records for a rookie quarterback in pro football history, Rookie of the Year, and Heisman Trophy winner. Next Sunday night, it's the Jets against the Carolina Cougars. But on Thursday, it's Friday, the Giants and the Chicago Bears. And,
yeah, they got the Bears this week.
Yeah, it's Friday, yeah, and people will love that. Tony Dungy was the first African-American coach to win a Super Bowl game, and Love was the first African-American coach to lose a Super Bowl game. The funny thing, Dusty, we had two coaches, and we got them both in the same Super Bowl game at the same time.
Yeah.
And
Lovey
Smith in America.
Tony
Dungy. Doc Stanley was up for the play.
Did you see the write-ups on those stories? How they were friends, they grew up together, they visit each other, they're like family, but they were going to beat each other for something.
That's the idea. Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, it's a situation. Everybody's trying to win, but and all these guys, I've always looked at that with the football players and then the game. It's one thing you see all the guys sitting around talking. I mean, because these guys, they went to college together. They hung out together, you know. So even in the NBA, a lot of times guys they went to school. Paul talked about that this year, about how the game has changed. He said because guys are playing basketball at a younger age, so you're meeting each other at a younger age. You know, me and Dusty, you know, we played in the Pee Wee League at 13, and then we ran into Rooney when we were 16. So by the time we're 18, 19, you know, we're friends. We knew each other as opposed to the old days. You know,
exactly.
You didn't see anybody till you got to college, and then he was on the opposition, so he was always the enemy. But, you know, guys go out to dinner now because, you know, they've made friendships at a young age, and kids remember those things at a young age, Dustin.
Yeah, they started. Well, you take baseball, Jeter and A-Rod, they started in the Pee Wee Leagues or some crap like that some years, decades ago, and they knew each other.
Yeah, yeah, right, you know what I mean?
And that's one of the things that A-Rod says is my biggest happiness was to, I could never do it before, was to play alongside my friend for decades, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and they all start together. Vernon Forrest and Shane Mosley and guys that fought each other when they were.
You know, you bring up a point, Dusty, that I remember when Mark Breland said, and it was the reason why he didn't like the pros. And he said because it was fun in the amateurs, he said, but the pros was a problem because now, you know, me and Dusty, we were in the Golden Gloves, but Dusty signed with King and I signed with Arum. So now, you know, we can't hang out anymore. And Mel, forget Mel, he's out the picture, you know, because Mel,
yeah,
he's the main event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, the camaraderie is no longer allowed because there have been lines drawn. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I found that to be, yes, you're right, Doc. But if that friendship, that bloodline of friendship still exists.
Oh, no, it still
exists. No matter how many.
But the point is now, you know, hey, Dusty, man, I can't go out to dinner with Friday because I got this meeting here with them. Where before it'd be, hey, man, I see you at 6:30. Hey, tell your mother, but your mother's spending the night, you know I'll be over there, Dusty. You know, those kind of things, yeah. Because now, you know, you're East Coast, I'm West Coast. You know what I mean? I'm with Don in New York, and you're out in Vegas with Arum. Or, you know, your West Coast, or now Rooney, he's in Jersey with Main Events. So that was the thing, yeah. But no, the friendship, the bonds are always going to be there. You know, family, blood is always thicker than water. You know what I mean, even if it's Perrier water. Doc Family Sports Depth on the Black Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. And, well, I guess we'll be closing minutes here. We all want to say happy birthday to Don King. And at the same time, we want to salute Roger Federer for winning today. Take our hats off. And to the Jets for at least surviving, and also to the Giants for winning again. And, hey, what can we say, gang? Some thoughts. Dusty, now, what's the story? For some reason, we haven't heard any more about Kenny Norton.
Well, you haven't.
Well,
no?
Well, you know, Kenny Norton, if you look up the website, all I got was Kenny Norton, world champ, heavyweight champ, no soundbite of his being in the hospital. You know, he's in the hospital. Nothing at all. I haven't seen any further. There's little small sports prints in the papers. Mm-hmm. Nothing. No. So it's just like, oh, the dude's sick and he's in the hospital. You know, I'm not too upside down over it because there's a lot of folks that I read about that. They won this dude died of cancer the other day.
Yeah, but Dusty, we're talking about the guy who was heavyweight champion of the world. Dusty, we're talking about the guy who fought Ali three times. Yeah,
what I'm leading up to. These people were personalities on Broadway and movies and all that, and you hear them a little sound bite. So and so passed away, and he got the Tony. He got the that's it.
Or today is the backup singer to the group so-and-so such, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, the only way was Friday Night Fights. Marco Osuna, who took Brian Kenny's spot and made the announcement, and you saw he was in the hospital with critical condition. That's why I thought he had died, you know, and he was 69 on his birthday. And that was it. Yet we got the little soundbite of Michael Dokes.
We're worried about it. But does you know, Billy Holiday said, you know, you ain't famous in America till you're dead anyway. So, you know.
Right.
But, you know, Don, as far as his actual a fighting legacy, I don't have to tell you, a lot of people did not think Kenny was a great fighter. His big claim to fame was being able to give Ali fits.
Yeah, well, that's a beta.
And they did have that great championship fight with Larry Holmes.
Yeah, that was a great fight. Oh, yeah, a lot of people thought he got shortchanged on that, and a lot of the reasons you look back, that people thought since he didn't win the title in the ring, that he shouldn't have hung on to it.
A lot of people don't remember that immediately following the 15th round of that fight, immediately following the last round of that fight, Doc and Dust, man, they put Larry Holmes on the stretcher immediately and carried him out of there. Look at the replay of that fight and see. I think they rushed him to the hospital immediately. He was suffering from exhaustion.
It was tired. It was.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're right. No, they were walking zombies. They were walking zombies.
Yeah,
it was instinct, heart, and guts took it to the last round.
Well, you can go back to the first Frazier-Ali fight. They both wound up in the hospital. I don't know how true it is. You guys correct me, but they were. So I heard that they were in the same room together. I mean,
well, I don't
know
about that, but I know they both wound up in the hospital. But you know, I want you to speak on this quickly. I know we're running out of time with me and Doc, because you being a former fighter. You know, Doc, whenever I say, if you ever want to see the heart of a fighter, I always go back to that Mike Tyson-Trevor Burbick title fight when Mike knocks Trevor down, and the guy's out of it. He's on Clear Street. Now, he doesn't know who knocked him down. He barely knows where he's at, but he knows he has to get up.
He knows he has to get up.
He doesn't know who knocked him down.
It's instinct. It's what you do. It's the fly ball. You drop the ball. You pick it up and you hit the cutoff man. It's instinct.
He was hit on the temple, not the jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And the temple also, of course, is a weak spot. But he was hit on the temple, but he was still conscious enough to attempt to get up. He was what we call in the phrase. He was on Queer Street. If you remember, really, perhaps comically, this is what happened to Zab Judah when he fought Costa Zoo.
Exactly, exactly.
And Thompson
but
dropped
you, the poor thing with him, he wasn't as deep in the block as Burbick was, and the thing that was the key there was he had enough withal to really stay down, but instead of bravadocio or youth or just stupidity, jump right up. Hey, look, everybody saw you drop the ball. Pick the ball up, hit the cutoff man. And all he had to do was stay down there and clear his head. And I think that was the big difference in the fight. He got up too soon, his head wasn't clear, and he wound up losing the fight, if I'm correct.
Dab Judah's legs looked like he was doing a ballet. He was bouncing from rope to rope, and Jim Nady, the referee, stopped him. He wanted to hit Jim Nady, he would have beat up Jim Nady, but the man was defenseless. The same thing with Trevor Burbick. If he had gotten up and stood up, Trevor Burbick, he would have been knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
But,
the thing about it was, I personally seen that fight. If you could ask Trevor right in the middle of that, who just knocked you down, I don't think he could have told you. But you can see his instinct saying, I got to get up. I got to get up.
If you had asked him a week later, he still couldn't have told you.
Right, Doc.
No. Yeah, he couldn't have told you. Rooney, I'm going to need you to tell everybody good night, and then we'll talk a couple more minutes.
Thank you, Doc. The Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink's been here. And that's been Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. Let's say this here.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
And with that, in just a minute, that's the Latin side of Sports in Depth. Say goodnight, Dusty, to Consuela, Henrique, Joy, Hector, and Little Louis, known as Louis III. Tell them that.
Buenas noches, todos, and I hope you had a nice time BSing about the Super Bowl bound Jets. So everything's gonna be cool. Good night, everybody.
Dusty, did you say Super Bowl bound Jets?
Of course. That's the dark horse. And I really do mean dark horse.
Hey, so in other words, and so this year instead of watching it on TV, they're gonna fly out to the kit.
I'm telling you. We joke and kid around, but it's a sad state of affairs. Yet I don't feel sad because these are millionaires playing the game, and I'm sitting back here trying to coach them into being a winning team. But I ain't getting a dime out of it, man.
Hey,
so
and not only that, you know what
they
go back and get into their Lamborghinis and Mercedes. They go to their triplex apartment. They got a TV bigger than the football field. And they can that great line that Joe, our late friend Joe Frazier said. Joe said, "Once you make a million, you can figure out something to do with another million." You know what I mean?
Exactly. And wasn't Mark Sanchez's new contract upgraded and extended? So I want to worry about Mark Sanchez if they tell him to pack his shopping bags and go to Seattle or go somewhere else.
Hey,
who cares?
And don't forget, it's not just the money, Doc and Dust, not just the money. You got to remember, those are big guys, and with their job comes all you can eat.
Exactly.
With that, we're going to close in the theme of the man whose birthday is my only in America. Happy birthday, Doc King. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil of the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Challenge Sports Devil. Show three thoughts, live your life today. As you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for other service to others? There's a rent you pay for your space on earth. That great line today, the past is written, close the book, on pages sad and gay. Within the future, do not look, but live today, today. Gentlemen, we're going to be doing a Sunday night show live from MetLife Stadium. We're live with the Jets and the Cougars, but we'll probably be doing some midweek little boxing thing. Larry Hardesty wants to say goodnight. Gentlemen, I no doubt deserve enemies.
I doubt if I deserve my friends, you guys, or family. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Larry Hardesty, yes, I'm saying.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Gentlemen, good night, and I'll see you during the week.
Good night. Buenas noches.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network. The posse members tonight, Justinio, Baby Lewis, Mel, Cosell Smith Jr., Lewis, the Hoops, the Heart, and Cedric, Cincinnati, C-Wing, Raymond. We'll be back next week starting at 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30, with a halftime show live from MetLife Stadium as the New York JTS Jets will play Carolina Cougars with the Rookie of the Year and Heisman Trophy winner Cam Newton and one of the great ends and all the football, Steve Smith. And maybe Friday. Maybe Friday, too, we'll bring you something live from MetLife Stadium as the Chicago Bears invade territory of the Super Bowl champion. Stay date. Baseball, football update right here. Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network. On behalf of the crew, Mel, Kel, Mr. Lady A on assignment, Nate B, baseball on assignment, this teenage baby, Lewis Hoop Hop, and Cincinnati T-Wings. We stay. Hey, thanks for being here, as Rooney would say, on the Sports Depth Nation. God bless you all. Trust in God. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Total Channel, Sports Depth Show. Bon noite, as they would say in Portuguese. De graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.